Would you then join with me as we pray together as God's people? Lord our God, thank you for your presence here, the joy of worshiping you, Lord, in song, in prayer, in fellowship, and now in the proclamation of your word. Open, God, our minds and our hearts. Make our wills receptive. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's scripture is one verse. It comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 13. Listen for God's word. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I grew up in a family that likes salt so much that we joke that we would actually salt a salt lick. It's true. When we were all together last month for vacation, we rarely had to say to one another, please pass the salt, because we had actually made a trip to the grocery store, purchased extra salt and pepper shakers, distributed them around the table. We are that ridiculous. We do know the proper etiquette when it comes to salt and pepper. If a person has asked you for only the salt or the pepper, you are to pass both the salt and the pepper shaker. If they ask you for the salt and pepper, you are to not first salt or pepper your own food. And you're to pass them not by holding them from the top, but from underneath. So we know the etiquette, but we love salt. All of us would die if we did not eat salt. We human beings must ingest salt in the form of sodium chloride, which, by the way, is the only rock that we human beings eat. There are different opinions, of course, as to the optimal amount of salt we should have in our diets. The average American eats 4,000 milligrams of salt every day. Experts think that our salt intake should be much lower, something along the lines of 1,500 milligrams. The modern salt industry states that there are, this is shocking, 14,000 uses for salt, including the manufacturing of pharmaceuticals, the melting of ice from winter roads. We who live in New England are thankful for that. Fertilizing agricultural fields, dyeing textiles, softening water, making soap. It's extraordinary. Our country used to be the leading producer of salt until last year, when China surpassed us. But of the salt that our nation produces, only 8% is used for food. 51% is used to de-ice our winter roads. When we say that someone is the salt of the earth, as I am sometimes known to do, we're describing a person who is exceptionally good, exceptionally trustworthy. It's a wonderful compliment to give to someone. It's a wonderful compliment to receive. But Jesus had something far greater in mind when he used the metaphor of salt in connection with Christian discipleship. So this morning we will unpack his meaning. The biblical scholar Dale Bruner translates our well-known verse like this. His translation says, "You folks are the very salt of the earth. But if that salt loses its tang, how is it ever going to be salty again? It is absolutely useless except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Bruner's translation makes plain that the you is not a singular you. Our English language can't make this distinction, but a plural you. We know that disciples are individual people, but here Jesus is collectively addressing them because he knows that this motley group of 12 disciples are going to be the ones that God will use to begin to spread the gospel until it reaches all of the corners of the earth. Alone, Jesus is saying, they cannot be the kind of salt that he intends, but together, in community, it will be possible. It's also important to note at the outset, I think, that when we speak of this verse, we speak of only the first part of this verse. That's the part that we know better. That is the part that we quote. This morning I want to look at the whole verse, what it means to be salt, and how it is that we remain salty. Well, why are we compared with salt of all things? What is so unique about salt? Well, the most obvious general characteristic of salt is that it's essentially different from the medium into which it is put. And so its power lies precisely in this difference. Think about eggs. Salt on eggs tastes very different than eggs with no salt. John R. Stott, the rector emeritus of All Souls Church in London, writes this. He says, "The influence of Christians on society depends on our being distinct, not identical." So if Jesus says that you and I are salt, that we are different, then we need to logically ask ourselves several questions. Are we indeed distinct? Do we blend in with the culture around us? Or, because we're trying to follow Jesus, do we make choices and lifestyle decisions that are sometimes different from those in the dominant culture? And might some of our decisions be distinctive enough so that folks around us pay attention and want to know about our faith in Jesus Christ that so motivates us? Author and scholar and pastor Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes this, "The glory of the gospel is that when the church is absolutely different from the world, it invariably attracts it. The glory of the gospel is that when the church is absolutely different from the world, it invariably attracts it." Two members of our congregation have given me permission to share with you this morning what is happening in their lives right now. They are prayerfully considering having the husband within this marriage, this family, leave a well-established, successful, secure, high-paying job to work for less money with a Christian organization. This new position would necessitate lifestyle changes for their family. Whether or not they make this significant change, their very desire to be open to the possibility demonstrates this: a willingness to say that there is a greater purpose to their lives than having attained a certain professional status or having pursued and gained a certain degree of financial success. Even in their deliberation, they are being the kind of salt that will cause people to sit up and pay attention to people who dare to live differently because they love Jesus and are trying to follow him. Salt has another unique function. Salt keeps things from going bad. Living here in this first world nation, we forget that. But I've seen it firsthand in Kenya, where refrigeration in the countryside is rare at best. And particularly in ancient times, salt was very valuable because it preserved food and prevented decay. Salt preserves from corruption. Now, if you were with us last Sunday, you remember that Pastor Sam opened his sermon with a football illustration. He mentioned that later that day, little did we know, he would be watching the New England Patriots game. Now, he and our staff know that I am not a big football fan. But even I have not been able to miss, and I have paid attention to the debacle surrounding the New England Patriots and Coach Belichick in the aftermath of last Sunday's illegal videotaping of the New York Jets. Legacies have been tarnished, to quote the New York Times. Integrity has been lost. Now, you and I probably are not going to be making decisions with our lives that will make such headlines and create such news. But you and I, as followers of Jesus, also make choices every day that either promote decay or prevent decay. We can stop things from going bad by doing something as seemingly small as not participating in gossip at the office water cooler or the neighborhood bus stop. And therefore, we stop slander and character assassination. Or we might do something as purposeful as what Suzanne Eller writes about in the current issue of Today's Christian Woman. In response to what she calls today's hyper-sexed culture, she writes this: "Isolating ourselves from culture is not reasonable or responsible." She suggests ways that Christians can engage and share opinions rationally and succinctly, without being puffed up and self-righteous, without necessarily quoting scripture, certainly without finger-pointing. And she illustrates with an example from several years ago. A very popular clothing company that markets their clothing for adolescents had developed a line of girl t-shirts with raunchy and demeaning slogans emblazoned on the front. 23 Pittsburgh girls staged what they called a girl cot. They were able to then meet with executives from this preeminent clothing company the next season. Because of the actions of 23 girls, these t-shirts were not included in the fashion lineup, and t-shirts with better messages were promoted. Prevent decay. Keep things from going bad. That is also part of what it means to be salt. So salt is distinct, and salt prevents decay. Salt also flavors. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes about an area of life in which all of us can season and can bless, and that is with our speech. Paul writes this in Colossians: "Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of time. Let your speech always be gracious," he writes, "seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." A few weeks ago, I bought an item in one of our town's specialty shops. As I made my purchase, I asked the woman behind the counter how she was doing. She said that she was glad that I had asked. She told me that I was the only customer of her day, and this was late afternoon, who had taken a moment to ask how she was. I briefly told her that it was my faith that had motivated me to ask her. As I left the store, I was grateful that I inquired, but I was also convicted of the many times I am in such a hurry or so focused on myself that I forfeit the chance to say even a small word of encouragement to another human being, especially to someone in a service position. Being salt can be something as momentous and as life-altering as a career change. Being salt can be prayerfully choosing an area where we see decay and taking action. And being salt can be something as seemingly small as using our words to bless others, thereby flavoring their lives with God's goodness and God's kindness and God's love. Salt is distinct. Salt prevents decay. Salt flavors. That is who Jesus wants us to be. That is how Jesus wants us to live. But he has a final word for us in the second part of that verse. He says, if salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? And the answer is not good. He said, it's no longer good for anything. It's thrown out and it's trampled underfoot. Jesus is saying to us, don't lose your saltiness. If you don't stay salty, you will be useless. Useless. Alive, but useless to him and his purposes. So how do we remain salty? By remaining close to Jesus. The answer is that simple to say and that difficult and challenging to live. In real life, of course, salt cannot break down and lose its saltiness. It's a very stable chemical compound. So Jesus, of course, is using hyperbole to make his point. His time on earth was short. He had 3 years of public ministry to get everything accomplished. Everything was at stake. And he knew that the spreading of the gospel depended and hinged upon his followers retaining their saltiness, both then and now. Because the great temptation for them and for us is to become insipid, to become tasteless, to become bland, if we do not stay near our Savior. We stay near our Savior through spiritual disciplines, the tried and true habits and patterns that followers of Jesus Christ have practiced down through the ages. You're practicing one right now as we are here together in corporate worship. Worship, prayer, reading and meditating upon God's word, fellowship with other Christians, solitude, giving, and service. These are the daily and the weekly rhythms that draw us to Jesus and help us to remain in Him and thereby retain our saltiness. Friends, here is the truth. Salt, a mere centimeter away from food, is absolutely useless to the food. Likewise, Christians who love Jesus but do not share that love with those on the outside looking in are like that useless salt. Jesus did not ask the disciples only to be salty to one another. Jesus asked, and he is still asking, for those who love him to be the salt of the earth. We could not please the Lord more than by being willing to be sprinkled and to be poured out in his name and for his sake. So please pass the salt. Amen. Pray with me. Lord our God, your word is loving and hard. You raise the standard for how you want us to live, and you give us your Holy Spirit to equip and strengthen and empower us to do so. And so we give ourselves to you and pray that indeed through and by your grace and your love, we would be salt, remain salt to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.